Busy night of action across the league. Seven games, we've got it covered for you.
And James Harden's unique 50-point night is raising questions about the state of the NBA.
It's the Wednesday edition of Locked On NBA. Let's do this.
You are Locked On the NBA, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
Welcome to the Wednesday edition of Locked On NBA, the daily podcast covering everything you want to know around the association. And on Wednesdays, I'm your co-host Jake Madison, at Nola Jake on Twitter, the host of the Locked On Pelicans podcast, and now the host of the Pelicans' official live and interactive Twitch show, On the Fly.
Whoa, hey, we're going to have to add an extra segment for all of the stuff that you're doing.
I had to do a plug in there a little bit for it,
of
right?
Course. No, that's a great thing to plug. That's awesome. Congratulations. I'm John Corrales, by the way. I host the Locked On Celtics podcast. You can find me on Twitter at RedsArmy_John.
So there was a lot going on around the league last night. You didn't watch it all. We did. We've got you covered in our usual too long didn't watch. So, first game up, Detroit Pistons, Cleveland Cavaliers, 127-94 in favor of Detroit. Yeah, when you're blowing teams out, you only need to play Blake Griffin 24 minutes in this one. He also put up 24 points in it. We can just move on from there. Orlando Magic beat the Washington Wizards 127-120. Washington's banged up in the front court and plays absolutely no defense and just can't get a win despite Bradley Beal. What did he put up, John? I don't have it in front of me, actually.
42 points, 6 rebounds, and 4 assists.
What a waste of a performance for the Wizards in a
free Bradley Beal. Yeah. Free Bradley Beal.
We're really, I get it. He likes it there. He wants to say it, but we're really hitting that point. Moving on, Miami Heat taking on the Toronto Raptors, a game that went to overtime, and the final score is going to confuse you a little bit. Miami 121, the Raptors 110. Miami outscored Toronto 13-2 in overtime. They just couldn't manufacture like any sort of look inside.
No, nothing at all. Meanwhile, Jimmy Butler went nuts in the overtime, scored the first 7 points, and you just knew that it was over right away when Jimmy Butler was going off. But the real place where this game was won was Bam Adebayo's defense on Pascal Siakam. Now, he didn't cover him for all 14 field goal attempts, but Siakam, 5 of 14, 35.5% there from the field, didn't hit a three. A tough night for Siakam, who was a minus 15. Bam Adebayo and that Miami defense did a great job on him, and really that's what gave them a chance to win this game.
Yeah, he's been – that move ended up being great, and they've got enough youth and other shooting around Jimmy Butler to make them really competitive. The Heat are now 15-5, same record after this game as the Toronto Raptors. Moving on, a game I was at, a game that I wish I wasn't at, the Dallas Mavericks taking on the New Orleans Pelicans. Dallas wins 118-97. New Orleans kept this one close in the first quarter, and then their defense decided to not play the rest of the game, and they pretty much got blown out. Also not going to help when you go 11 of 41 from threes. Dallas shot just under 44% in this game and still wins in pretty convincing fashion. You had Luka Doncic, which 33 points on the night, 18 rebounds, 5 assists from him, and Porzingis didn't do much of anything. He was just 2 of 11, but New Orleans couldn't shoot the ball. Jrue Holiday gave you enough with 18. Brandon Ingram, you know, a inconsequential 24 points for him, which is kind of weird to say, even though he was pretty good. The Pelicans defense is just bad. Like, there's no other way to put it.
Well, you know, you might not have heard this, and I want to take this controversial stand here. Luka Doncic is very good at basketball.
Really good.
And I don't know if anybody's really talking about him.
We've never covered that on a Locked On NBA podcast.
Yeah. So I kind of want to be the pioneer here to just watch this kid, because I think he's going to be special.
Would you say he's an MVP candidate?
He could be. He could be. I mean, I would vote for him. I know, again, controversial here, but I would vote for him potentially here for MVP.
Something like that. No, I don't know if anyone else knows. By the way, he's just 20 years old. I know you would have thought he's like 26 in his prime. Just 20.
Just 20.
Just forgetting like the 6 pro years that he's had before this season overall. No, he's awesome. They did a good job in the beginning on him with Drew Holiday, who tends to shut people down. But yeah, you can't really keep him quiet for that long. Also, by the way, for people who might want to know this, an update on Zion Williamson. Not doing full drills or anything like that yet, but Kristen Ledlow of NBA TV and TNT said that he had a breakthrough in practice recently. Expect to see him on the court maybe, if I had to ballpark it, maybe 4 to 5 weeks. So a little bit over the initial time frame. But Zion's coming back soon. That's the good thing. The NBA wants that. Moving on, maybe one of the bigger games of the night, the Los Angeles Lakers taking on the Denver Nuggets, 105-96. This is about where both teams are, I think, John. The Lakers are better. The Denver Nuggets are good enough to hang and kind of keep it close. But down the stretch, you had Anthony Davis just take over and close the game as he should, as this Lakers team should, and they pulled away right at the end.
Yeah, I mean, Anthony Davis is going to be a Defensive Player of the Year candidate at this point. He's impacting the game at both ends, and you can see him really, really put his stamp on the game when it matters. Meanwhile, on the Denver Nuggets side, just more of the same. Like, you need Jokic to do more than what he did in this game. 13 points, 8 assists, 5 turnovers. It's just not enough. It's the same story. It really is the same story with him. It's frustrating to watch a guy with this talent kind of sleepwalk his way through the first however much of this season he's going to sleepwalk his way through and sleep eat his way through, apparently. So I feel like he steps it up when he wants, and he gets easily frustrated. And it's just Denver's only going to go as far as he takes them. And right now, it just doesn't look like he wants to do much. I'm going to assume that he's going to turn it on later in the year, but I can't guarantee that, because the way he's starting, I just don't know at what point he's going to really become the guy that we all thought would be in that MVP race.
Yeah, so it was interesting because he was very clearly outplayed by Anthony Davis, especially down the stretch when you need him to come through, and he was just completely unable to do so. And I think that kind of tells you a lot about where he is, and he's struggling right now, and he readily admits it and said as much after the game. But you've just got to get him right, because this Nuggets team, you can see, is competitive. They're good, and they have a chance to be something special. I mean, they're still 13-5 after this loss. Imagine if he was playing at the level he did. And you and I talked about it on last week's podcast. This Denver team's kind of maddening that they're inconsistent. And just imagine if they became a consistent team.
Yeah, and you look at everybody. I shouldn't just put it all on Jokic. You know, Barton didn't play well. Gary Harris didn't play particularly well. Now you start to really raise the question of, does this Denver team need to maybe consolidate some of their talent that across the board is kind of equal, and add and see if they can turn that into another player that can be more of a star go-to guy? This is where I would normally advocate for the Bradley Beal trade, and you flip a Gary Harris and a Will Barton. I got to look at the numbers to see if something like that would even work. But Bradley Beal's not even available to be traded now because of the extension. So it's kind of, they're kind of stuck. I don't know where they go from here, but I feel like Denver needs another guy. They need another star. Jamal Murray's not ready to be that guy. They're paying him. They're going to pay him like he's going to be that guy, but they definitely need another star to help Jokic out, because he's very clearly not going to be able to carry this team night in and night out.
No, and you do have two guys on the Lakers who are able to do that. Anthony Davis, 25-10 on the night. LeBron, 25 points as well, getting just enough from the bench. Dwight Howard with 13. Rondo with 11. They're good, and they've got two guys that will carry you very far, even if you don't like the rest of the supporting cast. And that's why the Lakers are up to 18-3 on the season. Moving on from this one, the late game on the night, the Los Angeles Clippers pulling away mainly in the second half of this game against the Portland Trailblazers, 117-97. Player of the week, Carmelo Anthony, with 9 points on the... Or was he month? Player of the month?
Player of the week.
Okay, that's better. Player of the week, Carmelo Anthony, 9 points on the night for him. Whiteside had a pretty good game, 18 and 13 for him, and CJ McCollum with 20 points. Just not enough. Clippers are better.
Yeah, Clippers are a very, very good defensive team. And, like, I don't want to pile on. Like, Carmelo Anthony, I shouldn't say he deserved player of the week, but I don't really care. That, like, player of the week. Why are we still even giving out player of the week? But whatever. But to do it against, what was it, OKC and Chicago twice? This is a little bit of a different animal in the LA Clippers.
Yep.
So he was never really going to have that same level of production. That's why I thought all of the Carmelo Anthony just celebration or consternation, it's all premature. It was all going to level out. This is the beginning of the leveling out process. Really, the bigger issue is Damian Lillard struggling, and like that's just as he goes, the Blazers go, and that's as simple as that.
Yeah, and they went. Also, the Clippers are better. You know, the Blazers should be in that one for a little bit, and then eventually the Clippers pull away. And that's exactly what happened.
This is about right. This is exactly right. Montrezl Harrell, they got no answer for Montrezl Harrell off the bench, and he went nuts. Right. It's the Clippers bench. Well, when they're at full strength, that they're unfair, you know, and they still aren't really at full health either. So they still have another level that they can reach. And once everybody's comfortable, but even with just Lou Williams, Montrezl Harrell is enough. Trez was just a monster in this game, and he shot 4 of 12 from the free throw line, so he could have been even more devastating. And like I said, the Blazers just got nothing for him.
Yeah, so that's gonna do it for the Too Long Didn't Watch. And if you were paying attention to the games last night, you know we left one out, and that's because we are gonna cover the Rockets and Spurs in the next segment, and probably spend the rest of the show talking about things that kind of revolve around that. But before we do that, today's Locked On NBA show brought to you by Audible. Audible has the world's largest selection of audiobooks and audio entertainment. Start listening with a 30-day Audible trial. Choose one audiobook and two Audible originals absolutely free. Visit audible.com/lockedonNBA. And if you're listening on the go and you can't visit Audible right now, you can find this and all other offers from Locked On sponsors at lockedonpodcast.com/offers. All right, John, we had a bit of a thriller over there in Texas with the Houston Rockets taking on the San Antonio Spurs, a game where Houston led by as many as 22, and then this one goes to double overtime for a 135-133 Houston Rockets win. James Harden with a big game. And
San Antonio win.
San Antonio win. Sorry, thank you. We should probably get that right on the show here. So San Antonio wins. Harden with a 50-point game, but a very controversial call late in the fourth quarter where he botched a dunk, but they gave him points and then took points off the board. D'Antoni challenged. They reviewed it. They kept the points off. I'm now seeing that the Rockets might try and protest this game, and it really seemed to kind of put them on tilt a little bit. Goes to overtime. The Spurs managed to pull it out, but Harden's the story on this one, and his style of play and just everything that's kind of gone on with him recently.
Yeah, I mean, first of all, I don't know what the hell they're gonna do about that call.
How did it go out then if it didn't, like, on a dunk? You know, it's not like the ball goes in and then just miraculously bounces out.
I thought it went through the hoop and it just swung around, and I don't know that I've seen it. I thought it went through and it just looked like it went back up through, but it didn't. I don't know that it's going to be an interesting explanation from that. I thought that should have counted. Also want to shout out Lonnie Walker, because Lonnie Walker went nuts before we get into the James Harden stuff. Because he won that game.
He had 18 in the fourth quarter. He had 80 points, I think, going into this game for his career, and put up 18 in the fourth quarter.
19 actually, 19. According to the officials. Yeah, no, that's like, yeah. So 7 of 8, 3 of 4 from three, 2 of 2 from the line, a 19-point fourth quarter that outscored. He alone outscored Houston 19-18 in the fourth quarter. So he was the reason why the Spurs came back. And I got to say, it's just funny to hear our podcast mates, the Hollinger and Duncan Show, and other podcasts around. They finally gave in and said, all right, the Spurs are done. We're going to finally count the Spurs out.
It's so hard to say that, isn't it?
Right. And it's like
I don't want to do that. I'm not doing this on here. I'm not dumb enough to go on the record and state that.
No, of course not. But you sit there and you look at them, and they were 7-14 coming into this game, and they were done. They looked bad. They looked like toast. And then I don't want to say that one game's turned their season around, but it's just hilarious to me that people finally said, all right, fine, bury the Spurs, fine, I'm ready to say it. And then they come out and they have this big comeback in the fourth quarter and beat the Rockets in double OT. So just wanted to say that up front. But to the original question, this is so interesting to me. The James Harden, like, I feel like there's so much going on in the NBA right now. You talk about the ratings are down. They're down like 20%. And people are scrambling to ask why, what's going on. And there are so many different reasons. Like, it's hard to say what one reason is, right? It fractured audience, more people watching not on TV. What are you going to say?
No, I mean, it's a very complicated question and topic. And like, you know, we can point to some things that jump out at us, but this is like a larger type of thing that, you know, is an issue, or is it an issue? We're only a quarter of the way through the year. Let's see if these things, you know, even out a little bit more. It's going to be interesting to see how this kind of develops, because we've also seen some almost knee-jerk reactions from the NBA regarding this, especially recently with some of their copyright infringement claims on like YouTube.
Yeah. So there, it's so fascinating to follow, and I'll circle back to Harden in a second, but there, one of the reasons why ratings seem to be problematic is people just aren't watching games the same way. You're not sitting in front of TNT and watching a whole game all the time. People are watching highlights on YouTube. Well, some YouTube users have very large followings, and they'll post James Harden highlights, a James Harden mixtape from this game, and get a ton of hits. Meanwhile, the NBA's official YouTube may not even get that many hits. So they've been very lax. They let things kind of slide for a while. And I want to see, like, I think one reaction is they're going to start handing out more copyright claims and shutting down some of these sites and some of these YouTube accounts, so they can turn around and tell their broadcast partners, like, okay, you're not getting the ratings, but we're getting this on our YouTube channel. Let's find a way to monetize that as well. And whatever.
Yeah. I think it's maybe more of a monetization issue than a ratings issue potentially, or that's part of it. But that's a separate conversation.
So, but here we have, and I feel like James Harden is the perfect kind of example to use for a discussion like this, because here we have an historical season happening. He's averaging 39.5 points right now. He just scored 50 in a game the day after he scored 60. And go back before that, 34, 32, 37, 27, 36, 49, 44, 47. I mean, just keep going. Monster scoring numbers. People should be like, he should be a god on front and center face of the NBA. People love scoring, right? But here he is in this game shooting 11 for 38, 11 made field goals, and he scores 50 points. He shot 4 of 20 from 3, which is its own thing.
That's, but yeah.
24 of 24 from the line. He has taken 47 free throws in his last two games. And there was a fan at the game saying no one wants to watch a free throw contest. And Harden shot back, says no one wants to see fouls either. But you want to see fouls, James. That's how you score your points, at the free throw line. And I'm just kind of curious, the 24 free throw attempts and the 23 point attempts, it's an insane number. It's cracking my brain. And I wonder how much people really, really want to watch James Harden. You put that out there, and now Twitter is not the example to use, but it's the only thing I've got. So I put the thing out there, and you just get the responses like, I can't watch James Harden. I don't like watching James Harden. Me personally, I, John Corrales, don't really like watching James Harden all that much, because his entire game is dribble between his legs 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 times. Get the defender to lean a certain way, and he's either busting to the basket or he's taking a step back three. It's the only two things he ever does. And he'll pass off of the drives, and he'll –
So it's not like he doesn't put up assist numbers at times. You know, he gets these numbers and puts up absurd ones. But it's that style of play where you are almost gaming the system a little bit, fun to watch, and then it leads to the larger question of, is that turning people off of actively watching games? And the anecdotal evidence on Twitter, from when I've asked this and talked to people about it, and you talking about this earlier tonight on there, is yes, it is. People don't like it. But I don't know if that's the reason there's a huge ratings drop. I definitely think his game is not pleasing to watch, not fun to watch, and maybe not even what the NBA really wants to kind of promote as a brand. And I have a quote from about this. This comes from I'll pull it up in a second. Actually, I don't have it in front of me. I don't think that reason alone is why people aren't watching, but it's certainly a bit of an issue. It's, you know, the Houston Rockets being a good team are on national TV a lot, and maybe there are some people who aren't tuning into that game because of it.
Right. And that's like, James Harden isn't like the problem. I don't want to sit there and say James Harden is the problem, but his style of play is kind of emblematic of what players are trying to do. You're trying to drive and draw fouls. Now, he is an extreme example of this. I don't like the way he drives and throws his arms out and hunts for the fouls that way. I don't like that. But him taking a bunch of free throws, obviously, that it's a very effective way to score.
You but, win games because of it. And at the end of the day, that's what he and the team are trying to do.
He can be a scoring genius, but also not fun to watch. Like,
yes.
This is how he's successful. This is how he makes his money. This is how he helps the Rockets. And you can say, look, you just scored 110 points in two games. It's insane. But how much do people want to watch not just a parade of free throws, but a parade of three-pointers? And there are some questions, and this goes beyond James Harden. Like, I'm using Harden as the example. I want to make sure I'm not pinning it all on him. But there's so many three-pointers that are taken. I've just casual conversations with people that you're watching teams and players miss 60 to 65% of their three-pointers. And it feels they take so many. You're watching a bunch of missed shots. And you're not watching a ton of passing. You're watching guys come off the pick and roll, get that open three. If a guy goes under, then you're taking the open three. The beauty of the game is kind of sapped. It's funny, at Hall of Fame induction, Paul Westfall was there, and I had a conversation with Paul Westfall, and he was saying this, like, I'm watching this game, and the beauty of the ball movement and the offenses, you had different styles. You had some teams that were built low post and some teams that are built on the perimeter. And you had teams with distinct different styles of play. And in today's NBA, it's all generic. It's all spread the floor, you know, five out, high pick and roll, drive, either drive and dish, drive for the alley-oop, kick to the three, And everybody's trying to do the exact same thing. And I guess the point of all of this ranting is that the math has shown that that's how you should play basketball. And I and you and the rest of us who are hardcore probably don't mind so much that that's how you play basketball now. But the casual fan, I don't – is this generic brand of everybody playing five out, everybody trying to shoot the threes being so much more valuable than twos, is that really something that fans, the casual fan, the person who watches a few games a year and is going to buy the tickets and drive a lot of this, is that something that they really want to watch?
So let's pick – I've got an answer to that because I think it's an interesting question, and we'll pose some more hypotheticals with it. Let's pick it up going into the next segment here. But before we get to all of that, because this is a conversation that I think we need to let breathe a little bit more, don't forget, subscribe to Lockdown NBA wherever you get your podcast from. Here Monday through Friday for you all, breaking down everything you want to know around the league, recapping all the games you didn't watch, talking about the biggest topics going on, whether it's James Harden, the ratings, Luka, what have you. We've got it covered here from the local experts who know these teams better than anyone else. So wherever you get your podcast from, subscribe to Locked On NBA. So John and I have been talking about ratings in the NBA and how style of play is maybe one of the reasons why that's driving down. And John, you make a really good point of the three-point shot is the thing to do in the NBA right now. And if you're a 38% shooter, you're a good shooter. But
you're a great shooter.
Two-thirds of your shots there. And is that fun to watch people miss two-thirds of their shots? And it's a really good question. And I wonder if, you know, maybe it is driving down some of the ratings a little bit too. So in terms of the three-pointers, though, I don't think it is, because we've seen teams like the Warriors be huge ratings draws before when that's what they were doing. The Splash Brothers. They weren't hitting over 50% of their threes, though there were nights when it felt like they certainly were, and Steph Curry was. But overall, they're still missing. Making a bunch of threes and having rain those down, even if you're missing over 50% of them, I think is still fun to watch. No one's going to say those Warriors teams weren't fun to watch, though there was a lot of passing that led to those open threes. But certainly, I think there's a more generic style of play that's going on around the NBA right now. But that's the way you win games. And that's what these coaches are trying to do. That's what these players are trying to do. And they don't care about the ratings, I don't think. Their job is to go and win. So they're going to do whatever it takes to kind of get them there. And that goes into Harden's mindset, too. What he's doing works. There's no debating that. It works, so he's going to do it, even if it's to the detriment of the health of the league as a whole. So it's trying to, you know, what can you do, I think, to maybe make up for some of that, certainly. I don't think the three-point shooting's an issue. I definitely think Harden is. Like, his games aren't fun to watch on national TV, and the casual fan's going to tune in and be like, oh, my God, I just witnessed a 50-point game, but it was all done at, you know, half of it in this game last night was done at the free throw line, basically. That's not how you want to witness a 50-point game, right?
No, absolutely not. I mean, he shot how many shots did he miss in this game?
Than he made.
Yeah, you're watching a guy miss 27 shots and score 50 points. That breaks the brain. But what's the answer here? And again, this isn't necessarily the only thing that affects the ratings or impacts the game. But there's something there. I think this is part of the problem. Go ahead.
Certainly. So I go to a quote from Johan Cruyff, who's a famous soccer player with Barcelona and Ajax at times. And when he was a manager, he has a quote, which is, "Quality without results is pointless. Results without quality is boring." And we're kind of in that results without quality is boring kind of thing. You can win a ton of games doing what the Rockets do. But oh my God, is it boring to watch? And not being boring is kind of important in sports entertainment, which is ultimately what this is to people like you and I, or people, you know, that aren't working directly within the league. So trying to find a way to do that. Some of it might be better announcers, I think. some of those national TV games are rough. Like, let's be honest. How happy are you and I that we don't have to deal with players only this season?
Oh, my God. That's true.
It's not fun to listen to. I don't want to. I've started syncing up the local radio here in New Orleans to have it matched up with the TV because I find it better.
Yeah, I think there's certainly something that can be done about the broadcasts. I don't know why we're subjected to some of this, but we are. I think maybe there's just contracts that have been signed and they just got to honor them. I don't know, but I don't like it. The other thing I'm curious about is what material changes can be done to the game to change that approach.
I think it's, again, what they always try and do, which is a bit like speed it up, maybe, you know, get rid of another timeout. We should probably do away with the coach's challenge at this point. That's been a disaster this season. Yeah. It just slows it down more. No one wants a slow game. You know, if you can make these things done in under 2 hours, even on TV, I think it's easier to get people to watch. It's also easier to get people to go to games. Rockets games get dragged out because it's so slow, because when you're taking all those free throws, the clock's not running. And so you're there longer, and that tends to happen in these things.
Yeah, that slows things down. I think this is why they are experimenting in the G League with the one shot approach, where in the G League, if you don't know, up until the last 2 minutes of the game, I don't know if it's behind, last 2 minutes of the game, where if you get fouled taking a two or a three, you get one free throw. And if you make that one free throw, you get the two. If you get fouled on a three, you get one free throw and you get 3 points for it. And then in the last 2 minutes of the game, it goes back to normal. But they're experimenting with that. I don't know. I haven't watched enough G League to see how that goes. But that's supposed to speed things up.
So is it also possible that this is actually like a pretty simple thing? That most of these teams aren't good, even if they have star players on them. And so you just feel like your team's not going to be competitive. So why even bother watching? Like, if you're a Wizards fan, like, what's the point?
Oh,
we're
sure.
We're going through that here in New Orleans right now. Like, what's the point? But it also ties into, you're missing a lot of star players. No one wants to watch the Warriors right now. They just had two games I saw taken off like TNT or ESPN recently. Because of that, their ratings should be down when the Warriors are on because of all the injuries they have, the fact that Kevin Durant's no longer there. The Nets, while fun, still don't have Kevin Durant. You're missing a bunch of games with Kyrie Irving. Here in New Orleans, there's been no Zion Williamson yet. He will be a ratings draw. And when you're dealing with all of these big injuries, I think, and star players not being in there, you're less inclined to watch these games. Maybe that's somewhat with load management, too. Oh, Kawhi's not playing? I don't care. I don't need to tune into this game now. You know, and I think sometimes it might just be as simple as that. It's a star power-driven league. When there's more stars in it and they're playing more, there's probably going to be higher ratings.
Sure. I think that's definitely a part of it. And you can factor the injuries and the fact that a lot of these stars are out west and a lot. How many stars are out east? Giannis. And then after that, it's like you take a step down. Giannis is the only MVP candidate in the east. I mean, I have Kemba Walker on the Boston Celtics, but he's not an MVP candidate, really. You want to say maybe he's one of those guys that could sneak into that like fifth place MVP voting, like Pascal Siakam. Sure. Kyrie Irving when he's healthy, sure. But like after that, it's really the star power is out west. So that definitely impacts things. But I want to go back to the style of play thing. I've heard people suggest that I want to say it came up on a Zach Lowe podcast, but what if the reason why the threes are so prevalent now, it's the math.
Yeah.
Three is so much more valuable than two, and you can shoot 35% from three, and that's better than shooting 50% from two. That's just such a wide disparity. What if the math changed? And the twos became threes and the threes became fours. And now that extra point is sure more valuable, but how much more valuable is it? Or as I've seen somebody suggest, you go two to 2.5, which and it's sure it screws like all the statistics.
No,
like,
I get you have an issue with that, but yeah, that's not a big deal. And there's we shouldn't be comparing people, you know, among eras anyway. And there's ways to kind of just do the math to figure out what it would have been too. So that's sure. Like, ultimately not the biggest issue in my opinion. That's an interesting suggestion. We do like to fix the NBA on the podcast here, and we've done it before. We do have Adam Silver's direct line here.
Sure.
So we probably need to just shoot him a text and be like, hey, we've got this fixed for you, buddy. Yeah, I mean, if you somehow kind of reduce the disparity between a 2 and a 3 and to make it to 3-4 and the ratio's different there, yeah, that would be
– Here's.
You'd have people probably looking to score inside right in the paint at the restricted area significantly more.
I think that would be the thing. Here's my biggest example of how that would change this game right now. And it's now I'm an old school guy, so I don't mind the game right now. I like NBA basketball. But what drives me crazy is like on a 3-on-2 or a 3-on-1 fast break, when the two guys on the wings, they always flare out to the corner 3 rather than fill the lanes. So on a fast break, you have guys stopping and pulling up from 3 rather than trying to get a layup or a dunk. What is more exciting than a breakaway dunk? Everybody stands up in anticipation of a breakaway dunk, especially in those 3-on-1, 3-on-2 situations when guys are filling the lane and somebody's going to challenge and you're like, damn, somebody's about to get dunked on. That's exciting fast break basketball. But because of the math, the guys on the wings, they flare out to 3 because that corner 3 is shorter and so much more valuable, that hitting that shot in that spot when nobody's around you, you just basically get a warm-up type 3, of course you're going to flare out. And again, people miss – even the best shooters miss 60% of those shots. Where the dunk is such a high percentage shot, like that's almost always going to happen. So something that changes the math that allows something like that, that alone will add excitement to the game.
Yeah, so that would be a thing. You know, I wonder how many times those missed dunk opportunities in a game are like actually prevalent, and like what's the almost the opportunity cost on it? Like, is it significant or is it like 1 or 2 times a game at the most, which it might be. And if that would change the ratings very much, I don't know. It's an interesting thing. And as we've talked about a number of different things here, these ratings and the concern that the NBA has over them is like not an easy solution whatsoever. And this is something we're going to be talking about all year long because it's not going away anytime soon. Every quarter when we're pretty much getting, you know, updated ratings numbers. So we'll keep fixing the NBA here on the Locked On NBA podcast, but that's going to do it for this edition of Locked On NBA. As always, on Wednesdays, I'm Jake Madison, at Nola Jake on Twitter, host of the Locked On Pelicans podcast, and host of the Pelicans Twitch show On the Fly.
And I'm John Corrales, Reds_Army_John on Twitter. I host the Locked On Celtics podcast. I cover the Boston Celtics for MassLive.com.
Thank you all for listening, and we'll be back with you all next week.